Thank you, Pastor. It's always a blessing to be here. We finished today the series that we started in November. I looked back at the dates. I think I preached out of Luke chapter 10, the sending of the 72 disciples out on mission, the Great Commission as we're calling it, living out the Great Commission. I think I preached the first two sermons in November. Then in June, I preached the third message. And then promised to preach the fourth message for you here this morning. There actually needs to be seven sermons in the entire series, but so far I've only written four. So if you'll remember, if you can possibly remember back to November, or at least the story of Luke 10, we'll read some of it again here in just a few minutes. Jesus is sending the 72 out. He's sending them out two by two, 36 different towns to all the towns he's about to go to. He tells them, pray, ask the Lord of the harvest, and then he tells them, go. They're not going to come to him. He sends them out because he is going to go to their village. Now, when he gets to the village, obviously they're going to flock to him, but he's sending them out first. So Jesus prays, commands his disciples to pray, ask the Lord of the harvest, and then go. And then the fun sermon, maybe you all remember that one, on eat. Eat whatever is given to you, no matter what they put in front of you, no matter how hard this is. Eat whatever is placed before you. And he says it twice, so it's a really important thing. Of course, we contextualize that to mean more than just eat with people and don't turn your nose up at their food, which is pretty important, very, 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 very important. But more than that, to receive, just receive. It's a give and a take in this relationship, the great connection, the people God has connected you with. They have something to share with you. You may not agree with it. It may be unbiblical. We're not affirming. We're not patting them on the back and saying, yay for your sin. Nothing like that. It's just a simple, in the relationship of love, sometimes we do receive things that don't taste good. We just sit and we wait and we receive for an opportunity to give back to them the true bread of life, Jesus Christ. So sometimes we eat sour, salty, bitter things for a while in hopes that the sweetness of Christ can be given. And then in June, I preached a message on Jesus gives him authority to heal. He says, go, heal the sick, raise the dead in Matthew. He doesn't say that in Luke, but in Matthew, he says, raise the dead. Can you imagine raising the dead? They had the authority to do that, and they went and did it. This doesn't just happen in ancient times. I was preaching a sermon in Indiana just about a year ago, and someone shared with me a story right there at their hospital in Indianapolis or Muncie, wherever it was that they were living. Someone had flatlined, was dead and gone. The doctor had signed the death certificate, and when they came back in the room to remove the body, he was alive again. Someone had prayed for him, and Jesus, right here in the United States, these things happen around the world. It still happens. Healing still happens. My daughter, you ask how my daughter was doing. I said, really good. Really, 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 really good. My daughter, I don't know if I've shared I probably shared this with your church when we did missions preaching years ago, but you wouldn't remember that she had auditory sensory disorder, and her ears just hurt. They hurt so bad, especially in church. Somehow of a connection between the music in church was too loud, and her ears hurt too much. So she would leave church every Sunday. She'd come back in for the sermon. She wanted to be a part of church. She just couldn't, and I'm... what's going on? God healed her miraculously one day there in Beijing 6 years ago, right before COVID hit, right before we came home. Okay, here's the really good part. She's down in Dallas in a Bible training school, a missionary training school. Just last week, it's like 10 days ago, someone with auditory sensory issues at her school mentioned it to her. I don't know the story. All I know is she was telling her mother on the phone, and I heard some of it, and then Julie told me later. She felt so awkward as she prayed for this guy, just like, you know, God, could you, you know, Father God, just, you know, maybe come and just, you know, heal this person's ears. I don't know. Jesus' name, amen. And the guy's ears were healed instantaneously. I mean, come on. What does it take? Take some magic formula? We got to come up with the perfect words? No, it's God who heals. It's just us who ask. It's not a formula. God's not impressed with our words. Isn't that extraordinary? What had happened to Ellie, she passed on to someone else by the power of the Holy Spirit. So these things still happen again. So Jesus sends them out. Sorry, that was last June's sermon. You got another story of it since then. Again, it's still happening. But today we look at, next slide, finally finishing the series of four sermons anyway, until I get all seven of them written, and then I'll come back three more Sundays, and you'll get the middle ones. We're going to finish up what we started in November, and really look at the fourth in the cycle, the emphasis this year is on bringing disciples, bringing people to Jesus. 2024 was the year for blessing our community, making the connection. 2025 is the emphasis on proclaiming the good news, sharing the Lord Jesus Christ. So next slide, please. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, then pray. Therefore, for the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Go find them. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house." Finding the person of peace, the one who greets you back, peace, and then invites you to stay with them. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Heal the sick who are there. And tell them, for this Sunday, the kingdom of God has come near you. Suppose if there was a title for the message today, it would be Proclaim. Would you say it is true that the scariest thing that Christians try to do for the Lord is opening our mouths to share the faith? Would you agree with that? I'm not sure if that's the scariest thing. Maybe. It's certainly in the top five most difficult things. The hardest thing to do is to break the silence barrier, to actually get the courage to say just a few words for Christ. At least I think it is true for American Christians. Other cultures, not quite the same. Why is it so scary? We're going to look at some of the answers to that today. And I just want to share a few simple truths for us today and some stories, some great stories in the past. I hope this will take some of the fear out of evangelism. It really shouldn't be such a scary thing. I think the devil is just bullying us, largely. Fear causes us to just sort of back away. Just want to encourage you today with a few stories. Honestly, we all know that little voice in our head. Next slide, you guys know that little voice in your head. I scratched around the internet for fear, inside out, the little guy in the head that's just, don't do it. No, don't. You know, that voice that just tries to hit the brakes on you. But since that little voice in your head sounds like you talking to you, you just think it is you talking to you, and you don't see through to the truth behind it or underneath it, that often it's the devil trying to stop you. And that voice in your head of fear really is not you, and it's not the Lord. It's really the enemy. So I just want to look at some of the devil's lies. We have three lies today. And those little phrases that go through your mind, maybe other phrases go through your mind, but at least these three make it too scary to share the faith and kind of stop us from doing it. Then I want to look at the truth, and the truth is very, very encouraging. So this is going to be an encouraging message, not a scary message, even though fear is our central character today. Next slide, please. The first little voice in your head, that little voice says, people do not want to hear the gospel. You ever heard that voice in your head? It actually may be true. 25 years ago or 20 years ago, that may be true. And there were a lot of people that just kind of had walls up and did not want to hear the gospel. It is not true anymore. Research, Gallup polls and various polls are being taken right now in American culture. These are, you know, long-standing organizations that do good research. They're finding that this is actually not true. Recent research have discovered this very thing. Next slide, please. Did you know, and this is extraordinary, 3 out of 4, 73% of people, that's 3 out of 4, say that they would be willing to talk about faith with if their friends valued it enough. If they felt like you valued it enough, they would be willing to talk about faith. That's 3 out of 4 people out there. That doesn't mean 1 out of 4 absolutely don't want to hear. It just means 1 out of 4 aren't eager to hear. That's pretty encouraging. 3 out of 4 would talk to you about faith if you're a friend and you value, if it's important to you. As a friend, they care about what's important to you. 4 out of 5, 79%. Sorry, can you all see that? It's a little small, I think, but you know, it's just saying what I'm saying. 79%, 4 out of 5 would be willing to talk about... I got them backwards. 73%, 79%, what I just said. 4 out of 5 would be willing to talk to you about faith if you valued it. 73% say their Christian friends do not talk about faith too much. Now that's the 3 out of 4. 3 out of 4 say you don't talk about the faith too much. That's pretty amazing. Sometimes we think Christians just talk too much. You know, seen and not heard. Sometimes God's children should be seen and not heard, if you know that old song. No, actually, most people are willing to talk about it, and they don't think you talk too much. So first of all, that little voice, if it ever was true, it's certainly not true anymore. So my daughter, she's down in a missionary training Bible school. I don't know what you did in college on a Friday night for fun. They go evangelizing cold turkey in downtown Dallas. That's what they do. My daughter loves this. That's her idea of a great Friday night, just talking with strangers. And I'm not suggesting you all guys need to just hit the streets and start evangelizing people cold turkey. Maybe you can do that. Maybe go for it if you want to. Don't, you know, do it. But she does it all the time. She learned how to do it right here in South Chicago. Her mentor lives in Madison, and they have teams, and they would go around every single weekend and share the faith cold turkey somewhere in Illinois. Incredible movement of people with effect, okay? With effect. You think to yourself, that doesn't work anymore. You're wrong. If you think it doesn't work anymore, you've got to see my daughter. Okay, so just about a year ago, she was in her gap year. She was going to a community college at Kankakee Community College, and she decided she wanted the team to come to KCC, the community college, and just share the faith. So they did. 3 of them went down. It wasn't a big team that day. They only talked with 9 people. They stood there in the eating area and just talked with whoever was willing to talk. 9 people came by to talk with them. How many do you think accepted the Lord? Your wildest guess. Don't say 9. Some people always have too much faith. How many would you think? 2 or 3? 8. 8 people accepted Christ cold turkey with complete strangers. Matter of fact, her team leader, Jay, was, when I came to pick her up, he was so ecstatic. I've never seen him just bubbling over. He said to me, "Chris, we had so much success today. I finally started pushing the kids really, really hard. Do you really understand what you're doing here? We're talking about a lifelong commitment to Jesus Christ, and you're going to attend church, and you're going to read your Bible every day." I mean, he finally started giving a really hard sale, making sure that they really got it. Now, is that what you want to do? And they're like, "Yes." Do you understand the darkness is growing so significantly right now that young people and much of America will do anything to find out who they are? They need Jesus so badly that they'll take a spoon and climb into a dumpster and scrape rust off the bottom of it and eat it. They are that hungry. They are willing to talk right now. You'd be surprised. So this is especially true because God trusts you. You're his servants. He knows that your heart. He knows your willingness. And the great connection is happening. God is sending you the persons of peace. The Holy Spirit is making these connections. So if there's a connection been made in your life, Jesus has put that person in your life for this very purpose. And he is at work in them right now. He's been at work in them for years to get them to the place where when you share with them, they're more willing to listen. So just that voice in your head that says, they don't want to hear. It's just a lie, and it comes from the devil. And you don't have to buy it. So that's really exciting. I hope that's encouraging. A little fear there, smiling. I didn't know that. That's really encouraging. Took me a while to find a picture of him smiling. Next slide, please. Fear says, "I can't do that. I don't have enough training." How many of you guys have ever heard that voice? Really, it doesn't take much to share the faith. I just point people to Jesus. One of my favorite stories, this is from more than half my life ago. I was a volunteer missionary right out of Southern Nazarene University. I went and lived in Bulgaria, Eastern Europe, and I was a volunteer missionary for 2 years. Man, I was young. I was 24, 25, 26 years of age. So I, you know, had some training in ministry, nothing in missions, but I had an evangelism class. But I remember as I was leaving Bulgaria to come back to the United States to go to seminary and, get on with, whatever was the next part of my life. I had no idea I was about to meet this girl who was called to China. And we were, I had no idea what was coming. But as I was coming home from Bulgaria to America, I flew through London for a preaching conference. I don't know how I got this invitation. So I'm in London, and I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying the conference in the mornings, and I go watch Les Mis in the evenings. We had a great time. I went and saw Stonehenge and all that, did all this cool stuff. One of the things that hit me the most in London was in this bustling, busy town, people wearing suits and ties in the 90s, nice shoes, dresses, briefcases, money, money, money. It's London. It's a big city. There were all these young people who were on the streets begging, and I just could not understand it. Young people sitting on the concrete with usually sleeping bags over their legs and a little can there, and they were just begging for money. Finally, it just got to me too much. I decided I had to know what was going on. So I went in to a 7-Eleven or something, bought a sandwich and a drink, and I just sat down next to this girl who was on the street, and I said, "Here, I got you some food," and I'm just really curious. Why are you, why are you on the streets? What's going on? I didn't know what to say anything. I'm fumbling and bumbling here. And she told me her story. I can't remember, man. It's more than half my life ago. Something about a boyfriend and drugs, and then her boyfriend beat her up and kicked her out. And I can't remember the details, but it's the basic story you'd expect of someone losing everything they've got. And she's on the streets. So I asked her, "Well, okay." And she said, basically, I just, beg until I have enough for food and then enough to check into a hotel. And then I go check into a hotel and buy some dinner and then start all over in the morning. It's not too hard. She only needs about 100 pounds, British pounds, every day to do it. And it doesn't take long to get 100 British pounds. So that was her life. So I asked her, right there on the spot, "Well, how much do you need, today?" And she's like, "I don't know, 15 pounds or 20 pounds. So I, gave her 15 pounds to end her day so she could go. And honestly, I sat there and listened to her. I ate what she had. And honestly, I did not know what to say. It could not have been as awkward as it felt. But I literally felt like it was like one of the most awkward moments of my life. Like my daughter last week praying for this guy. I guess, I did not know. It didn't. I'm sure it wasn't that bad, but that's how it felt. I just said to her, "Well, I just wanted you to know that God loves you and somebody cares." And I probably wasn't that bad, but it felt like Forrest Gump. You know what I mean? I felt like, "Well, I just wanted you to know God loves you and somebody cares, and that's all I got to say about that." And, that's how awkward it felt. I felt terrible, and I walked away. I'm beating myself up. "Oh, come on. That's all you had to say. Why don't you?" And the devil's beating me up. And anyway, that's all that I shared with her. Finished the conference, 48 hours later or something, I thought, maybe I go back to that place where she was sitting and see if she's still there and just, say goodbye. I'm going to leave London in the morning. And I found her, and I think I bought her another drink and sandwich or something. I can't remember now. It's been too long ago. But as soon as I sat down next to her, she turned over, and she's doing something over here. I have no idea what she's doing. Until she turns around, and she's got a $1 bill, an American dollar. This is in Britain. So she had to go to a bank and exchange money for a $1 bill, brand new $1 bill. And she'd written something on it. I can't remember what it was. I've got it saved in my mom's house somewhere as this $1 bill. "Thank you for reminding me about God," or something like that. And she told me that night after we had talked, she went, checked into the hotel, and prayed again for the first time in years and years and years. Came back to the Lord, whom she already kind of knew. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, this is just incredible. I all I said was, "God loves you and somebody cares." And God did everything else. He did the rest. He just took her to a new place. Isn't it extraordinary how simple sometimes it is? Anything that you can say that just sort of points people to Jesus. And that's the gospel. Doesn't have to be complex. If you don't really don't know what to say, just carry the four spiritual laws with you and just read through it. That's why they were designed. For people that don't know what to say, you can just read this little booklet and the Lord will do the rest. All right, voice number three. It's not time yet. You'll wreck the relationship. No. You got to build a relationship with the person. You're going too fast. Whoa, you're going to hurt the relationship. The devil wants you to hear that, that you're going to hurt the relationship, that you're moving too fast. And honestly, how can you possibly know where a person is on the inside? How can you know when is the right time? You really, really can't. And generally speaking, you're not ever going to know when they're ready. So you're just going to have to trust the Holy Spirit on this. And my favorite story of this is from about 20 years ago when we lived in California. This is before we went to China. We had some friends, Dragan and Sharky. Dragan was from Yugoslavia, I think. And he talked like Gru from Despicable Me. I mean, it sounds just like him. He's a tough Yugoslavian man, a quadruple black belt in Taekwondo or something, a tough guy. Now, when we knew them, he was a godly man, so he's very, very tender heart. But his story is actually quite amazing, how he got from Yugoslavia onto a train down to Greece and over to America and how they let him in. It was a crazy story. They were actually working in Hollywood. His big moment was he was in a Wonder Woman episode once. He, the old show from the 70s, he comes out and swinging and kicking, you know, and then Wonder Woman, she kicks him and he goes flying, hits a dumpster. That's his big moment in Hollywood. He was a tough, tough guy. Somehow Sharky, his wife, had found the Lord first, and she wants her husband to know about this. And you have to understand, she's the exact opposite. He's tough, Eastern European guy, and she's about the softest, gentlest American woman you've ever met. Just soft-spoken, sweetheart of a lady. She comes to faith first. She's sharing with her husband at the time, this is back in the 70s or 80s, about the Lord, and he doesn't want to hear about it. Just shut up. I don't want to hear it. But finally, he told her one day, if you ever speak about Jesus again, I will kill you. And she was pretty sure he meant it. So she, soft, gentle, sweet Sharky, she just, you know, crumbled. And I think the story is, the very next day, he was doing the splits, and this is such a visual, he's doing the splits in front of the television, and television's on one of those big tube TVs, and she's on the couch reading a book or something, I don't know what, and she hears this voice in her head that says, ask him now. Ask him now if he wants to invite me. And first thing Sharky thought was, Lord, is that you, or is that the devil trying to get me killed? And the Lord was like, no, you know my voice. You know my voice. Ask him now if he wants to accept me. And Sharky, about as quietly as she possibly could, she's already such a quiet lady, Dragan, would you like to accept, you know, would you like to accept Jesus right now as your Lord and Savior? He stood up from the splits, turned around and said, okay. And he accepted the Lord right there on the spot. And by the time I met him 10, 15 years later, he was one of the most godly men you ever met. He led Bible studies in our church, led people to Christ, gifts of healing, just an extraordinary, extraordinary man. Remember that the enemy will always tell you it's not the right time. So if you actually hear a voice saying, ask him now, it's a good chance it's the Lord, because the devil never wants you to ever say anything. It's probably the Lord saying, now is the right time. And there's nothing more exciting than that feeling of praying with somebody to lead them to the Lord. Okay, so now that we looked at some of the fears, I just want to spend the last couple of minutes talking about how specifically to share your faith. To some extent, like I said earlier, London, anything you say that just points them to God or to Jesus, anything, just say God loves you. Just say I've been praying for you. Just anything that you say that points them to Jesus will do. And of course, the absolute best way, and if you guys would like, we can, you know, come up here some Saturday and do a couple hours training with you, is to tell your story. It's really, really simple. But if you don't have us up, the answer is actually simple. Write your story on a single piece of paper so it's short. And next slide, please. Go ahead to the next slide. Just follow the Mary Magdalene in the Chosen version of your story. I was once this way, and now I'm completely different, and Jesus was the turning point. Jesus was the hinge. Just make your story like that. Here's how I was. Jesus came into my life. Now here's how it is. One piece of paper, simple, practice it, and you're ready to go. It's really about that simple, not much more profound than that. And especially, do not forget the two most important verses in the scripture on evangelism. Next slide, please. John 16, very truly I tell you, it is good for you that I'm going away. Jesus is leaving the disciples. They're so distraught. Unless I go away, the Comforter will not come. The Comforter has come. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then the other verse in Mark chapter 9, never forget Jesus' words, that some demons only come out with prayer and fasting. Some breakthroughs only happen with prayer and fasting. And that really just brings us around full circle to where we started way back in November and where we started this morning at the beginning with ask the Lord of the harvest. Pray, pray, pray. Prayer and fasting is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the engagement. As Oswald Chambers says, next slide, please, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. It is the work itself. Pray, pray, pray. So I hope you feel it in this series. Now that we finally finished here today, November to September has been 9 months in the coming. The cycle to resurgence really is the core, those three things, blessing your community, bringing others to Jesus, and the next year the emphasis on becoming Christ-like disciples. It's not just the latest thing from Kansas City, the latest program, not at all. These are the core, the center priorities. So in all the quizzing and the choirs and the quilting that churches do, and these things are important, if we keep the main thing, blessing our community, that is looking for the connections, getting to know people, like what you guys did yesterday, all day Saturday, you know, just being in the community, being with people, then bringing others to Christ, just in some simple or unprofound way, just pointing them to Jesus, and then integrating them in the church, discipling them, disciples making disciples. Not a class that you take, no time for that sermon. Discipleship is a whole lifestyle of mimicking the Jesus in every imaginable way. But that's next year. No spoilers for 2026. That is the center of mission revitalization, the center of what it means to be the kingdom of heaven. So when you keep these three things at the absolute forefront of your mind, it's your identity and your mission, the kingdom is going to grow. It has been such a privilege to share with you this series. I really appreciate every chance I get coming up here. Love you guys. It's a blessing to be a part of you. Please be praying for our ministry as we're doing in Kankakee, one of the most difficult counties in Illinois and even the United States. We've got all the problems of a major city. We even just yesterday, we had our fundraiser yesterday for our ministry to rally churches to work together to do this very thing, to go on mission to Kankakee. We'd like to see it turned around in 2 years, just like Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. Paul and his small team turned the city of 200,000 upside down in 2 years. Surely, if we get the Christians together in Kankakee County, we can turn the city upside down in 2 years as well. So please be praying for our ministry. Pastor.